Late LK at one, y'all. So holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today? Oh, yeah, we coming with another wonderful episode of On Screen. Boy, we talking about that one, that only, that very interesting and deep character diving, Cloak and Dagger. We getting close. There's only two episodes left. And this one gives us a whole lot to deal with. And before we get everything started, I want to say holla at your boy. Thank you for hollering at me on my podcast. Thank you for following me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Thank you for commenting on the videos. Let's keep the conversation going. Thank you guys for supporting, getting on Patreon, getting on Facebook, whatever, all that stuff. Thank you for the love. Love talking about the good stuff with you and I and other folks. You know what I'm saying? So to the chat, before we even get started, big shout out to folks that usually come through. That's Alan Lewis, Little Miss Chocolate, Lotus Scholar. Big shout out to Eric's Nation. Big shout out to all you guys. Thank you for rolling through. Now, with that said, you don't only have to be on the video. You ain't only got to be on the podcast. Lately, you may have seen I dropped a video on this channel. Of course, Nerd Soul 10, the hip hop album that I dropped with a whole bunch of joints that are approximately 10 years old that I have dusted off to basically introduce you to the older version of some flavor. And if you want to get that flavor, want to stream with your boy, if you want to get that podcast and get that music, holla at any streaming service. You can find me on Spotify, I don't know, Google, Amazon Music, Pandora, all that stuff. Just search up Nerd Soul. I'm going to be there. Now, it's out of the way. What's good with the pastor? Yeah, let's start off with the pastor. He has sure enough made sure in his mind that he's like, yo, I'm out the game. Like, I don't want to be involved. I've failed my students. I failed myself. I failed Tyrone. You know, it's my fault, blah, blah, blah. You know, I did this horrible thing and it's over. I don't want to be involved. It's over. I can't fix it. And I can't, you know, repent or I can't redeem myself either. Bruh, did you ever think that maybe, just maybe, this moment right here with Ma Dukes approaching you, needing your help, is how you get that redemption? Did you think about that? No, you didn't. You didn't think about that. Want to know why you didn't think about that? Because you are so deep in your self-loathing that you can't even stop and get a breath. Can't even come up for air. I know he's going to end up being important, and I like him as a character, but it's just so tough seeing where he's come from. You know, I mean, dude was, you know, he was a teacher, you know, priest and all that stuff. Everything was all good. Life was going rosy for him. And of course, you know, he touched Tyrone. He was able to kind of like reveal his fear to him and all that stuff. And he's never been the same since. Bro, you got to bounce back. All right. We got, look, all right. We got two episodes. All right. We need you. All right. I don't know what Mom does. I don't know exactly what she needs from you, but she needs something from you. So right now, what I need you to do is pick up, because he talking about faith and like, I don't know if I got the faith or whatever. Look, bruh, all right? Faith without works is dead, all right? You got to take a look. Look, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you know what I'm saying? Just look, this much faith, you're going to have to do some work, all right? So get your butt up out your house, up off your couch, and do some work, all right? Why do I have to come here and tell you this? You the priest, all right? Why I got to tell you, you know what? This priest right now, me and you ain't vibing, but that's cool. I think you can get it together. Next, I want to talk about the system, which is sad, especially with everything that's going on in the government right now. The system that they show here when they, you know, they arrive, you know, to the hotel and they're going through everything and you can just see the disinterest on the police. You can just see just like, ah, whatever, you know, hey, it's the oldest profession. You know, this place will be back up in a month. you know. And then he said victims in a very nonchalant way, in a very kind of like cast off way, where it's just like, yeah, victims, whatever, you know, if that's what you want to call them. And it's like, yes, that's what I want to call them, because that's what they were. Nobody wakes up in the morning like, hey, man, I wish somebody would drug me and force me to stay at a hotel for the rest of my life. Nobody does that. Nobody grows up. When you be like, hey, kid, what you want to be when you grow up? And they like raise their hand like, I hope somebody is like drugs me and holds me against my will and be lying to me about my mama looking for me. All right. That's not what people want to do. All right. So they are victims. Now, of course, we all have the rat race. We all go through our craziness. And, you know, sometimes you get hit real low moments, and your mental state is malleable, and you get manipulated, and you start thinking that you're going to be, this is what you want to do. And you think that this is something you like, just like old girl with Tandy. But guess what? Once she saw a little piece of hope, once she saw that her mama was looking for her, did she want to stay? No, she didn't. Thank you. Dang. Like, the police department here in this show is so incredibly, I don't know if corrupt is a good enough word for it, because they're corrupt on the shootings. They're corrupt on old boy that got killed, Bridges, Mayhem slash Bridges man. They're corrupt on Connors literally beating up another officer in the middle of the, like, yo, homeboy straight beat her like a rug in the middle of the bar, and nobody said nothing. All right, you know, all this drug stuff, taking the drug dealer money. Like, where does the corruption in this precinct stop? Like, I just want to know, is there anybody clean in this whole precinct? Please tell me. If you're not doing drug, if you're not taking money from the drug dealers, then you're killing people. If you ain't killing people, you're talking about, oh, it's no big deal about prostitutes and people being stuck in a hotel. It's all good. It's an older profession. Like, Jesus, please fix it. Anyway, with that said, I do think Bridget can make a difference there. I'm hoping that she is a catalyst for something there, because her and her man was kind of trying to be a catalyst. And then, you know, Connors either killed him or had him killed. So hopefully she can turn this precinct around, or this department there around, because I don't think there's a good police officer there. Like, they, you got these girls. All right, first, remember, there was missing girl. All right, there's two girls. There's missing girls. All right, and now you got the girls at the hotel. In both situations, officers was just like, psh, whatever. Like, bruh, these are people. All right, they're still people. Like, don't you care a little bit? Like, your job, pretend like you care. How about that? If you don't care, pretend it. All right, can you do that? Because you're an officer. Can you just at least pretend like you care just a little bit? And of course, with this show being, you know, just a mirror, in certain instances, just holding up a mirror to our society, it shows how many people are not interested in the lives, or don't care, or don't find value in those that are, you know, unfortunately in an industry that involves a lot of human trafficking, involves a lot of unwilling or very medicated participants, highly medicated participants who may or may not know, you know, the scope of what they're involved in, because they're so, you know, essentially sedated because they're high all the time in these, modern opium dens to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? And thank God that, you know, Tyrone and Tandy were there to intervene and, you know, rough up some cats. We don't know how much jail time they get, because we saw at the drug spot, you know, it didn't look like they was coming down with harsh time. But of course, that's the court side of it. The police just arrest them. Then you got the prosecutor, they get to do their thing. So we don't really know like that. But I feel like the whole system in NOLA on this show is like, just they don't care. I feel like they don't care about the missing girls. They don't care about the girls in the hotel. They don't care about the cats getting killed. They don't care about the dirty cops. The whole system is in NOLA on this show, at least, is just like, psh, well, whatever. So that's something that is tough to deal with at times. But I know this is a hurdle that they're going to have to cross as a team. Now, I want to move on to something that was heartfelt and something that really, I think, was long overdue, was some deeper and further character development with, of course, Evita and Auntie. And last episode, I was pulling for Auntie, hoping that maybe Auntie would pull through or maybe she was just critical condition, but Auntie has passed on. You guys was right, I was wrong. I was trying to hold on, but she done took a L. Lotus Scholar, what's up? Gave you a shout out earlier in the show. They don't care about the Ninth Ward. If they don't know, don't show. I don't care what's going on in Cloak and Dagger. But I like that you see Evita coming up, becoming the next, the next one to be the Mamba. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, and I do apologize. But her coming to grips with what she is supposed to be. Auntie straight laughs at her. She's just like, you being selfish. This ain't you. Ever since you had the sight, this is what you were supposed to do. Like, this is going to be your life. Like, I've tried to prepare you for this because this was going to be your life. Why are you thinking that you're going to go to college and be a doctor and all this stuff? No, this is the life you are supposed to lead. You are supposed to help people with their connection to the other side, whether you're reading Shadow Man and they call it the dead side, or whether they call it Beyond the Veil, or whatever you want to call it. This is your job. This is what you're going to be. You are about to be a bride. You have to marry Aloha. And her going through reconciling with that, her letting go of her auntie, her praying over, working so hard, trying to save Tyrone, and her finally accepting and, becoming the bride, was some very powerful character work that they did in a short amount of time, but it was lean, but at the same time, the moments we got meant something to both characters, and I think they'll matter further into the show as well. Another part that I loved, Lotus Scholar says, let's just say Bruja, maybe. Yeah, something to that extent. Or I loved the dance with the ancestors, especially juxtaposed between the moments in the moments coming home and also in the hotel and fighting and everything. But those moments with the ancestors were just so crucial to who Auntie was and is, and who Evita is going to be stepping into that role. And it was beautiful seeing her in all white, seeing the ancestors dancing, hearing the music. It was something that was spiritual and something that they didn't have to do, but I think made the scene and made their connection better and provided insight into their history, making it better for it. Definitely. Lotus Scholar says she gonna have to let go of Ty so he can be with his bae. Yeah, I think this part of the episode also kind of let us know the beginning of the fork in that road. Her essentially giving up her relationship with Tyrone so she could save him. And then Tyrone taking the road with being like, I mean, they said like wedding marriage type stuff. Like, I'd rather fight 100 battles with you than fight one without you. Come on, man. That's like, you might as well play some Casey and JoJo after that. But anyway, slide that to the side. We are at the half, so I got to give y'all a shout out. Don't forget, I am on that podcast. Search your boy up on the podcast, if podcast is what you do. And thank you for watching because, I'm here on YouTube. So if you like getting your watch on, blah, 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 stay on that YouTube. Make sure to hit that thumbs up. hit that thumbs down. But if you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to send Baron Samedi after you. You don't want that. All right? You ain't got enough candy for how strong he's going to be coming. Now, also, make sure you subscribe and share this out to your folks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let them know. Don't be keeping Nerd Soul to yourself. All right? Share that Nerd Soul with your people. And lastly, of course, you can check me out on streaming. That's right. Spotify, Pandora, Google Play, Amazon Music, because I dropped the album. Some old joints. I'm working on some new joints too, but dropped some old joints so y'all can get a feel of what Nerd Soul was doing about 10 years ago. That's right. Put me up in your playlist. Bump them jams. Support your boy that way as well, if you so choose. And if you don't, I'm going to send the record man after you. You know, hey, he play your song, it's going to get played. Now, back to Lotus Scholar. They're going to be playing Fire and Desire next. Oh, man. And Lotus Scholar said, Giddy family don't play. I made a joke about the record, man. I do want to talk about Andre for a second. We see them for a little bit where him and Leah. Him and Leah kind of, you know, tricked the dude into stealing his car. And we see that he's having these migraines again. So it's real. Like, I didn't think he was lying. I thought he was lying about the severity. About, you know, how bad it is when he was talking to Auntie. And of course, he won't lie. He did look like he was in pain. And him using his bottom strongest woman outside, I'm trying to keep this family as possible. Him using his strongest woman, his best woman, to the last drop, to the point where she was at least catatonic, shows the kind of person he is and shows how dangerous he is. And shows how he sees those who help him. So we know that Tandy is in trouble because she ain't even helping him. Tyrone ain't helping. So we know how bad he can be or will be once he becomes a fully realized guy, which I think that's the direction we're going. I think he's going to receive or achieve his godhood. Now, my question to you is, when he becomes a god, do you think we end his story at the end of the season? Or do you think he carries on into next season? Or does the situation where he kind of falls back a little bit and comes back in season 4, something like that? Because once he becomes a god, that's a whole nother problem. And I don't think that his ascension to godhood is going to make Tandy or Tyrone be like, oh, you know what? We cool now. I don't think they're going to let that go. Because at the end of the episode, we get a great line, and I'll remark on that later. But the way he used Leah, whatever your name is. But the way he used her, especially after being like, oh, I just need a little bit, either shows A, he doesn't know the extent of his power, or B, shows how deceitful and slimy he is and how dangerous he is to anyone in his path. He'll do anything to get that feeling of the music playing and the trumpet or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He'll do anything for that and is willing to kill those that are even people that are even beneficial to him. You know what I'm saying? Lotus Scholar says next season, I would say. Yeah, like maybe, you know, because once he becomes a god, he's essentially like, you know, Baron Samedi or something like that. So maybe he won't have to be a direct villain. Maybe he can be someone who just continues to be a nagging problem along the way. I don't know how they'll use him, but I think it'll be cool for them to have a villain that's like a long-term villain. Someone that maybe they don't, you know, conquer until 3-4 seasons down the line. So give us someone that we can hate for a long time. Slide that to the side. Get rid of Jasmine, because we want to talk about my favorite part. That's right. The video game. of course, we jump into the dark side, the dead side, behind the veil, whatever. We jump in there. We got Mayhem. We're going to talk about them in a second. And then we got Tyrone and Tandy. Tyrone playing that game. Baron be like, yo, you gotta play with him. You want him to leave? You gonna have to play for that. And they play a straight up, you know, beat them up from the days when I played video games that I love. And before I drop it, I'll read Lotus Scholar's comment. Lotus Scholar says, Tandy and Ty are going to be some god killers. Watch, they're going to level up and become one in more ways than one. I ain't messing with you. over there, reciting lyrics to... You know what? I'm not going to go there. I ain't messing with you. But I'm going to give a shout out to one of my favorite video games of all time. Streets of Rage 2. Yes, Streets of Rage was a nice start. It was a great foundation. But Streets of Rage 2 is probably the pinnacle of beat-em-up games. The graphics are fire. The battles are fire. The difficulty is fire. And the music is fire. Yo, this joint made me think about Streets of Rage so much. I want to play Streets of Rage now. Big shout out to everybody who knows about Streets of Rage. If you don't know about Streets of Rage 2, you need to step your game up. You need to level up, level up, level up. Because look, if you don't know about Streets of Rage 2, you just don't. Look, man, we can't be cool until you play it a little. Even if you play it and you're like, I hate it, at least you experienced it. And it's one of the best brawler game. You got Axel, you got Blaze, you got Skate, you got Max. Come on, man. Come on, man. That game is two flames, yo. And of course, it just made me think about that. I love seeing the kind of slide scrolling that they had going on, beating up the bad guys. Even Tandy being like, hey, the guys we just beat up, they just disappeared. And saying like they all dressed the same. I love that. And then seeing them go to the live action version, that was fun too. Like it was a way to have fun inside of this episode that had a lot of weight. And even the video game started to have a lot of weight, but I love that moment. I love that moment of them to, you know, to be like, look, we're dealing with some heavy stuff with the passer, some heavy stuff with the Vita right now, having to let go and become something new. We're dealing with some heavy stuff with Leah, essentially left as a vegetable, tons of stuff. But they gave us a moment to where she was like, I'm not a gamer, but if I was, I'd be good at this or something like that. You know, just a little bit of fun for us to have. On top of the soundtrack this episode, which was, again, top notch. Yo, the music that they use on this show is straight flames. Big shout out to Lotus Scully says, I find it funny Baron have them play games. I would expect that from Exu, aka Papa Legba. Yeah, maybe they teamed up and was like, look, make him play a game. oh snap. Lotus Scholar said, get in the pipe and catch that fade. Yo, all right, check it. For if you haven't played Streets of Rage, all right, check it. So you're walking down the street, just beating people. It's a side scrolling beat them up, right? But they had a pipe. It'd be like, foom, foom, psh. Look, it was the bomb. And you can hit people with pipes. Would they get back up? Of course they would. But still, you can hit people with pipes. You can throw the pipe. You can also stab people with knives. And you can throw the knife like all across the whole screen. It was just, yo, man, Streets of Rage is just a classic, man. I can play that all the time. There's a couple of games that I can always play. Streets of Rage 2, probably Super Mario. The first joint that was not Mario 3, but the one that was the first one on Super Nintendo. Donkey Kong Country, Sonic 2. There's certain games, platformers and side-scrollers that I can always play. But this joint had that Streets of Rage 2 on Ledak. But that said, I ain't gonna, you know, for all my people that ain't gamers or haven't been gamers, I ain't gonna bury you in that. The thing that I love is that they use the video game as a way to force Tandy and Tyrone to face their final fear, which was that fear that kind of broke him at the hotel. The fear of Tyrone not being able to be there for Tandy, the feeling of Tandy always fronting like she wants to be alone, but then finding herself alone for real and realizing that she don't want to be alone. Right? Man is not meant to be alone. And when I say man, I mean like mankind. Like man and woman, people, man, all right? They're not meant to be alone, all right? You are not an island, all right? You need people, community to talk to discuss, to live your life with, to enrich your experience, all right? You know what I'm saying? So Tandy had to learn that. And even him being like, we're going to break this wall down. What happened? They broke it down together. That's yo, man, it's the best ever. Yo, I'm so proud of them as a team. And proud of the creative team on the show and proud of the team of Tyrone and Tandy with the way they structured the scene. I just really love that. Lotus Scholar said, love grabbing weapons in the streets of rage. The real fear is relationship nobody wants to talk about. Oh, man. Look, they close. They getting there. You know, I think they're going to have to simmer this relationship for like one more season before we get that kiss moment. You know, that moment where they embrace them. I love you. I love you, too. And we going to need another season for that. They can't just be rushing it fast. I ain't going to slow build. You know, simmer it. All right, like you got the heat. All right, don't put it on six. Put it on one. All right, for all y'all that use gas ovens out there. But look, don't be putting it on that. Put it on one. Let it simmer. All right, trying to cook the food all fast. Then your relationship is cooked on the outside and it's uncooked on the inside. All right, same thing. Cook your relationship properly. Oh boy, I guess I'm about as good as Dr. Phil now. But anyway. Last thing I want to talk about is the connection with Bridget and Mayhem. We learned a lot about their upbringing, which I thought was nice. Everybody got their moment to shine in a character way on this show. And we learned about, you know, like their memories, how each of them see their childhood memories, how they reflect on their father and, you know, how their father was. It was good seeing them laugh together, especially as someone who has this, I guess, kind of issue where they have, like, I guess you could say, what is it? Is it dissociative personality disorder? Look, it's like DID or something like that. DPD, something. Correct me in the comments, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like Crazy Jane when you got, like, other personalities, they different ones be taking control at different times. Is, you know, you had Crazy Jane on Doom Patrol. That was, you know, handled very well. And in this show, we didn't know that Bridget was like this until this moment, because we thought that they just split her psyche. And it's like, no, she had personality disorder or whatever, and they split those personalities. It wasn't like they split the left and the right brain. It's like, no, there were always two people there anyway. And she was just, I guess, so strong that she was keeping in control or something. And so I love that. And straight up, I would love to see a team up with Crazy Jane and Mayhem. I think then we can have some fun on that one. But with that character move, those character moments, seeing them give each other a manicure and just reflect on life was one of those times when you get to see a character be the character. You know, the actor or actress falls away and you get to see Mayhem. You get to see Bridget and you get to see them and how they see each other, how they saw their childhood, how they remembered things and how they regarded their father. And I think there's some good work there. That was some really good work that I enjoyed that I think, once again, a lot of shows don't take the time to do. And I don't know whether it's, you know, just the writers team as a whole, just like, we want to make sure we get these characters right or whatever, but this show could be flashy. This show could be weak, but it's not. There's been a lot of time with these people and I'm really digging it. Really loving it. Shout out to Lotus Scala. He said sociopath. I don't know. I don't know what I consider. I don't think she's considered a sociopath. I don't think. I know she don't play. But I don't know if we would consider her that. But with that said, just great character work there. And the last thing I'll remark on is the return home. I love how we get a moment of triumph, sort of. Evita, you know, she levels up. She's able to do it. But she has to give up herself because she is now the Mamba, or the, I think it's the Mamba. So she's the Mamba now. She gotta be. And she had to, you know, kind of give of herself to bring Tyrone back. So she kind of won because she leveled up, but then she also had to give something away. Tyrone and Tandy, they come back and everything's not great. You know, it's like they got out from that situation, but Tandy goes home and it is not good, son. Bridget comes home, or Mayhem and Bridget come home, and you can see the destructive nature return. And where does that leave our heroes? I mean, if you saw the trailer or the teaser for the next episode, you see that there is still trouble in paradise, even though we are crossing milestones. And I like that. I like the fact that we get, you know, we do take a step forward, and maybe not a step back, but maybe we take a step forward and then a step to the side instead of the step forward that we thought we were going to make. And in that way, I think it kind of mirrors real life. Like, you think like your career is going to be like, pew. And it's like, nah, your career is like, goes around a little bit, up a little more, and then you climb. And I think that's the hero's journey that we're getting, where it's like, we get a little ground, cool, we stumble a little bit, or we have to wait for something, or we have to learn something, or we have to deal with something inside of us. And I think that's forcing them to be a stronger team for Tyrone and Tandy, a better person for Bridget and Mayhem, and also hopefully becoming better heroes in the end of it. Because they're going to have a lot to face from a structural standpoint, from an institutional standpoint when it comes to the police, from the supernatural standpoint, dealing with Jazzman. There's a lot that they're going to have to deal with. So seeing their return and listening to that song talk about we all got our demons and stuff like that, they're going to have to still do a lot of legwork on their end. They're going to have to do a lot of work mentally and emotionally, and, you know, being able to bend and, you know, kind of fit with each other to make it all work. Because I do believe that all of them care. But of course, they have different perspectives of how to handle the same problem. So, guys, thank you for checking it out. Thank you for hanging with me. I'm still loving this show. It's still a show that I think it's crazy that this is on Freeform. It seems like this show could have been on like AMC or something, with the way that they're handling and dealing with characters and what they have to do and what they have to be or become. Let's see. Lotus Scholar said, "We come together because opposites attract." Is schizophrenic? I don't know. Schizophrenic. I don't know if that would. Maybe that's a term. I know. Look, if you're a doctor or one of those like doctor people, you know, the psychiatrist or something, you can let us know. Sociopath, schizophrenic, personal disorder, whatever. All that. You can tell us the difference between that in the comments below. Make it a long comment. I'm cool. I'll read it all. Now break it up. All right. Don't be giving me like a whole 8 paragraphs and no. Don't hit enter. All right. Break it up. All right, so a brother can read it and don't be mixing up lines. But guys, thank you for checking me out. Of course, hit me up on social, That Nerd Soul. That's right, THATNERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Nerd Soul, yo. You're going to find me. And then you can listen to it if you don't like watching. You're like, yo, man, I don't like to watch. I like to be in traffic and listen to people in my head. And if you like listening to people in your head, you like listening to me in your head, then search for me and you can press play. Or if you bump in some of that hip hop, all right, and you got that Spotify, got that Apple Music, you know what I'm saying? Search Nerd Soul. That's right, NERDSOUL. Put me up in your playlist, yo. All right, right now I got like 6 or 7 songs up there. I might have one you like. You don't know. And if you don't like none of them still, well, thank you for at least listening once and being like, this is trash. But if you say it's trash, I'm going to send recommend after you. You don't want that. So before we bounce, of course, make sure to hit that thumbs up, hit that thumbs down. But if you hit that thumbs down, all right, pop a leg butt. Woo-hoo. Oh, you don't want that. And make sure to subscribe. share this to your folks. Big shout out to Lotus Scholar. Big shout out to Thought Crimes. I was chilling with them on their live stream earlier today. They were talking about Monique and Steve Harvey and the deal with, you know, Empire being canceled and all that good stuff. They're amazing. Big shout out to Alan Lewis, Little Miss Chocolate. Big shout out to everybody who's watching this on the replay. Big shout out to you. Thank you for coming through. And of course, before I bounce, thank you for chilling. But until next time, whoo, protect your dreams. Protect your dreams. This is just me telling you, peace. Because it is hard out there for a pimp.